Yeah, I can actually see this Josh just sitting there, and usually he just collects whatever's in front of him and twists it together and bends them and tears them all up. And now they're playing mumbly peg with a fillet knife. Robert's fingers are on the table. Josh is...
I'm going really slow. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, okay. If there's blood, I don't want to know. So anyway, you guessed it. This is the Area Fishing Report. Fishing Frank here. Robert in the chair across from me. And Josh Olive, our fish coach.
Hello.
There. And it's just magnificent. Okay. Oh, I'm at the wrong end of the page here. I was putting in the dates and stuff. Okay. Back to the top of the page. And at the top of this page is the Peace River Systems. And out there, I have a cursor. We have things to go. So
fingers that are ready to try to work?
No, actually, I must have hit an... I did something with my neck, and I lost the feeling in my left fingers.
Jeez, you're going to have to go back to Windsor for the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go to Windsor, but yeah, I literally, they're just numb. It feels like they're asleep.
That's not good.
Just the fingers or the whole hand?
Just the tips of my fingers.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, just...
Want to play mumbly peg?
It wouldn't hurt if you did. The only thing is, I mean, from, well, actually, it's most of my fingers. Can't really feel them.
Cool.
So typing is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Let me know if you need to switch.
Yeah, that's right. You do type. You know, you type for a living.
Yeah, but everything would be spelled right, so.
Yeah, no one would. I just can't imagine how when I got the call for the Fort Byers store. What does HTE mean? What's the HTE snook and the HTE canals? I said, high-tech environmental.
Yeah.
They're like, really? I said, or it could be I misspelled the.
One or the other. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Your pick.
I was never really thought somebody would take that for a letter secret code.
Anagram.
Yeah. It was a misspelled. I'm stupid. I can't type right, okay? I'm looking at how I spelled Arcadia. I'm not even going to tell you.
He doesn't have any feeling in his fingers. Cut him some slack.
I did last week. It really wasn't the excuse.
I'm trying to...
You're trying to bail me out, but I'm stupid. That's all there is to it. Okay. I just ain't that bright, but I'm trying to make up for it. So, anyway.
So, Peace River.
Peace River.
That's what we were doing. I forgot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of snook and tarpon showing.
Place check.
I think Robert's heard that enough for today.
Bang head here. Okay.
Right.
Good. So, what are you waiting for, Robert? We're doing the Peace River.
Tarpon and snook at Shell Creek. You were busy talking instead of typing when I said it a second ago.
Tarpon and snook.
And then there's also been a lot of snook starting to move upriver, like... past the water treatment plant. Some of these Arcadia guys have been coming in and picking up some swim baits, a couple of the Rapalas. And
what's up with the water treatment?
Above the water treatment plant. Like from, well, I'd say 761 basically up has been a lot of snook.
Much up the river.
Up the river. Yeah. Yeah, the real river.
All the way up to Fort Ogden.
What was the other bait that those guys bought the other day? It was a goofy bait. Oh, man.
What do you think of that new rattle trap bait?
It's interesting.
That is the dumbest looking goddamn lure I've seen in years.
Yes, it is.
Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Okay, pause. Okay, I'm going to put this on pause. I'm going to run over and grab it. You got to see this thing. It is the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen. Hang on. I'll be right. Okay.
What is this stupid thing?
Yeah, I was waiting to get your reaction on tape. We pre-record the show, boys and girls. I hit pause, went out, grabbed the lure, handed it to Josh, and he's looking at it going, what the hell is this damn thing? I mean, that is the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen.
It's a banana with a tail.
A banana with a tail.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do with a banana with a tail. What is it supposed to walk?
I think it's a topwater, isn't it, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most action-packed topwater you've ever fished.
Now, I bought this sight unseen, completely unknown, because Wes and all the people up there, Rattle Trap, they're just literally amazing people. all their stuff is made right here in the U.S. All their lures are made here in, you know, Louisiana. The company's there. The people work there. And I like dealing with folks like that, and they're awesome to deal with. They're literally, it's one of the most fun companies to deal with, Rattle Trap. And they said, okay, we got a new, yeah, we got a new lure. I said, okay, send me some. You know, I'm not going to worry about what they are. It's, you know, a few hundred dollars or whatever. But, you know, when you have a good relationship with company, there's a give and take. You can't say, okay, I'm going to cherry pick everything. I could have probably picked a few cherries on this one.
Have you fished it, though?
I got to go take it out. I'm going to reserve judgment. Because
yeah, so
when
am
I. When I tournament fish, I took the best, most lifelike imitation stuff I could find, and then if that wasn't going to work, I took the dumbest, ugliest stuff I could possibly get my hands on, because when that beautiful, lifelike stuff didn't work, it was always the really stupid stuff that would catch the fish.
I'm thinking of,
and I don't think you're getting more stupid than that.
I'm thinking of baits like a jitterbug, which the first time you look at a jitterbug, you're like, there's no way this is the stupidest looking thing ever. It's got this big steam shovel front, but it's actually a fantastic bait, and this might be too. Might be. I'm not saying it is.
I'm saying I'm reserving judgment. I got to take it out fish with it. Robert, your opinion?
It's definitely interesting. I'm curious to know what that tail's going to do when it walks the dog.
Well, what it says is it has unique and repeatable actions like wag the tail, wobble wake, turnaround twitch, and the namesake stutter step, which is what this thing is called. You go to stutter-step.com for tutorials. All right. I'll go that far.
I'm going to tell you, these are the people at Rattle Trap. If you're out in the store and you want to support a great company who does awesome work, pretty reasonable pricing, and really supports independent tackle shops, go stomp in and buy a Rattle Trap, whether it's freshwater, saltwater. We use them trolling, we use them casting. You can use a Rattle Trap is literally one of the best teaser baits you can ever use. If you're in the Gulf fishing for blackfin tuna, king mackerel, put a Rattle Trap down. Forget about catching fish with it, although it probably will, but your other lures will catch noticeably more fish because the Rattle Trap lets the fish know they're there.
Draws them in. Makes the noise, makes
great
the flash.
Teaser. It does catch fish, but forget that. That's the irrelevant part. Any other lure you have in the water will catch more fish if you have a Rattle Trap while you're trolling. And I've seen it in the harbor, the Gulf, everywhere. Freshwater, saltwater, doesn't matter. If you're trolling, have a Rattle Trap in the water. It's good common sense.
Yeah, and this is nothing like a Rattle Trap, but worth a shot.
Do not try and troll this thing.
No.
No, this is not. You know what? It might be the first topwater you could troll.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to try that.
Looks like it might be a line twist special.
Yeah, but if this thing flops and darts and does all the crazy stuff like that, you know, it might actually, we'll put it in the bait tank and find out. So, anyway, I know you guys are waiting for a fishing report.
Eventually, we'll get back to it.
Yeah.
You know, for the freshwater guys, there have actually been a lot of catfish reports coming in on the river from Fort Ogden all the way up to Nocatee.
All right,
and
let me jump down to the
north.
Freshwater report.
All right. Well, hey, you said the Peace River.
Yeah, well,
I know, but
I have a regular freshwater report page. Okay. All right. And catfish.
Yeah, some real nice channel cats coming in. 5'8", even 10-pounders.
Bullheads, too, or just channels mostly?
I haven't heard too much about the bullheads. I think people are just getting excited about catching some nice big channels.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're catching some bullheads along with them.
Yeah. Usually this is the time of year when I start to hear about them kind of everywhere. Yeah, water starts to recede and they start to pool up a little better.
I haven't heard about any blue cats yet.
Okay. I got that in now. I'll go back up to the top.
Alright.
Well, it's okay. I don't mind.
Alright, settle down.
Cool it. It's okay. Peace River going to 41 Bridge. What's going on? Oh, no. I-75. Sorry. I-75.
I've honestly gotten nothing there this week.
There haven't been that many snook around there, although there were a couple of weeks ago, but I've talked to some guys who caught some decent redfish up that way.
Alright.
It's been pretty quiet for me. It's been a weird last couple days with reports. They've been kind of all over the map.
With the way I just spelled what I wrote, nobody's going to ever notice what was there or not, so don't worry about it. Okay, 41.
Snook. Some juvenile tarpon. There's been a handful of trout by the power lines and in between the two bridges. Some black drum. mangrove snapper is starting to get in there a little bit better. And a couple different people have been reporting catching some sheep's head over there too. So it's
I heard a couple short cobia caught from way up top.
Oh yeah, the bridge trolls.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Not a bad thing. That's what we've been hearing about with cobia scattered all over places. Not super surprising.
No, not really. That's one of the places where they always like to hang out.
Except for this time of year, they always seem to be shorter up there.
Yeah.
That spring run always seems to be better fish.
Yeah, and it's going to be worse when that size limit goes up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Lashley Pier.
Some snook, mangrove snapper, a couple of trout, a couple of black drum. Starting to pick up a little bit there. This week's been spotty because of, you know, the warm weather, but it's been definitely picking up more consistently, especially for the little snook and some of the trout.
I also talked to some guys who were catching Mohara down by the boat ramp.
Really?
Yeah.
Got lost in the basin?
Yep.
There you go.
Fun little sand brim, which you're not allowed to fish off of the, but if you're in your boat waiting to get back on the trailer, you know, you're in your boat. Go ahead, fish.
Why not? What are they going to do?
Tell you can't fish in your boat? Pfft. Whatever.
Right. Well, the actual legal end of that is you cannot stop somebody from, if you're in a marina or wherever else, from fishing from your boat unless they can prove you were touching the bottom. Because the bottom is theirs. And if you had a sinker on, they might actually be able to do something with you, but as far as like a swimming lure or a bait under a bobber, they would have a hard time proving you touched the bottom. And even in a marina or someplace posted no fishing, strictly according to the law, legal-wise is they can't stop you as long as you don't touch the bottom. The problem is they can harass you, they can call the cops, they can do anything. There's really, under the technical version of the law, nothing they can do about it. Yeah. But the reality is, you know, go somewhere else and fish, the whole big world, you don't need the marina.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish other places where you don't have to do that.
Yeah, so, Bayshore Piers?
I got nothing.
Anything
I have not heard anything.
Okay. Port Charlotte Canal System.
Well, it's been a little quiet behind.
If only we knew somebody knew something about the Port Charlotte Canal.
If we had somebody who maybe lived canal front and could keep up with conditions.
Yeah, it would be awesome. You know,
we'd have really good reports out of that if we just could find the right person for that.
If we had the person who actually lived on a canal in Port Charlotte.
Wait a minute. You know, I know somebody who fishes on the canal in Port Charlotte all the time. Her name is Christina.
I was going to say. Okay.
Hey, if it's any reflection behind my house, it's terrible. But what I've been hearing from a lot of other people, it's definitely better in other spots. The Ackerman Waterway and Manchester Waterway in particular, some nice jacks. Snook have been cooperating over there. A couple of redfish. A guy even caught some trout at the entrance going into it right there in front of the beach complex. And then the mangrove snapper bites picking up pretty good. And there has been some juvenile tarpon being seen, but nobody hooking any.
I've been hearing nothing but good reports. I'm surprised that you don't have a lot of action behind your house.
It's terrible behind my house this whole week.
It's robbers.
No, I got to call Christina and ask her.
This man,
the fish aren't even
could
popping.
Teach. Robert could teach Helen Keller with one arm how to fish. I mean, you know, he can teach anybody anything about fishing, but put him on the boat, give him a rod and reel. Things are going to go bad.
I don't even know if I told him that story with her. Holy
what?
Crap. I'm out back. I watch. I usually just watch.
Right. You get your voyeur thing going on. We understand that.
She's out there fishing, so I'm like, okay, every now and then I'll take the rod and make a couple casts. So I go out there and grab the pole, make a cast. I start to work the lure. You know, and mind you, I've taught her how to use the lures, and then she's experimented and perfected it her own way. She's like, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, excuse me? Like, it just get caught me off guard because it was just like, you're doing it wrong. Just, rah. Like, okay, what do I do? She said, just lift up, let it fall down, lift up, let it fall down. I do the first twitch and start to let it fall down, and whack, get hit by about 15-inch snook. I just looked at her like, really? Seriously? She started laughing, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Talk about snatching the pebble, just doop, done. Okay.
What I like.
It was just so, just, I mean, it couldn't have been more
kid
perfect.
Stubborn here.
Uh-huh.
I'll do it my way. Don't tell me about this. I've got it. Leave me alone. And listen to her.
That's what I'm shocked about.
The whole rest of the story that, you know, he caught the fish and all that. Somebody said, hey, do this, and Robert did it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, the rest of the story makes total sense. But that part is bizarre.
I'm going to call this possible...
yeah, but except for behind Robert's place, they've been doing really well in the canals. They've been getting pretty much the whole gamut, the snook, the redfish, the black drum, even getting some little Goliath grouper up in there.
Yeah, there's been quite a mixture from everybody around there. It's been really bizarrely quiet, though, behind the house.
Well, but the thing is that you had fish when other people didn't. Yeah. I think now it's everybody else's turn.
I'm good with that. I'm good with sharing. No problem with that.
Oh, and some Mamma Jamma Mayan cichlids.
Really?
Yeah.
Mamma Jamma. What's Mamma Jamma? What's the big definition?
The definition is large.
Large.
Jumbo.
What's El Grande.
Lunker. Hog.
What do they say at Starbucks? I've been in the Starbucks. The coffee sucks.
I don't think you can get...
You know, they have all those stupid sizes. Learn to make a decent cup of coffee, for God's sakes. It's cream and sugar that somebody threw a coffee pot past.
Listen, if you can't get the basics down, then you got to have a gimmick.
Yeah.
So
if you can't make coffee, just throw a lot of crap in the cup.
Absolutely. Nobody will even notice.
And that's the only thing I can figure out. They like, you know, milk with sugar and flavoring in it, you know. God. I drink coffee, so I mean...
So what's our next location?
All right, El Jimino. I'm sorry, Starbucks sucks. It's like the worst crap I've ever tried to drink.
The sheep's head reports have been okay, not fantastic, not yet, but it's still a little early in the season. Catching some smaller mangroves down there while they're looking for the sheep's head. Been getting mixed reports on the snook. Guys have been saying either it's on fire or, man, I can't catch a snook to save my life, which leads me to believe that it's probably pretty good down there for people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's usually what it boils down to, because those guys have been saying it's been on fire, been like 3-4 o'clock in the morning going out there. They're watching the tides and doing what they do.
Yep. If you're a tide watching vampire, snook fishing's probably pretty good.
Gotcha. Okay, moving on. And this is actually a fishery report. Okay. The Mac River system, excluding El Jimino.
The whole Mayaca cut off, and right at the mouth of Tippy Canoe has got quite a few snook around it, and quite a bit of trout, surprisingly, and good-sized ones, 15, 16, 17 inchers. And then there has been some redfish in there, but most of them have been small.
Yeah, and if you're fishing the bushes, expect to get your baits mostly stripped off by the mangroves. They've been in there hungry.
Yeah, a lot of little guys.
Yeah. So if you're trying to avoid that, maybe a chunk of cut bait might be a better choice than a shrimp.
Yeah. The guys are catching those trout on the small little 3- and 4-inch storm swim baits with some they were getting some size to them.
Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Bigger trout, rather eat a fish.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm just having a hard time. That left hand is really just annoying when I'm trying to type, because I can't tell if I'm hitting the keys or not. Okay. South Gulf Cove.
Well, the Mayan cichlid guys were in. They said it's starting to slow down on the tilapia, but they're still catching the Mayan cichlids pretty good back in there. And then one of the customers, he's been trolling in and out of there while fishing the west wall, and he's been getting a couple snook. And jumped one juvenile tarpon again.
Now, I paid attention to this because I know that a lot of times we don't have reports here. And what I found is a Facebook friend who fishes in that area very regularly. And I asked him what's going on in there. And he's been doing a lot of fly fishing with poppers. And he said that it's literally snook one cast, bass the next.
Cool. I used to really enjoy fishing back there, you know, 20 years ago, because it was like that all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, one cast literally a snook, next cast would be a bass, and then every now and then, you know, every fifth or tenth trip, you'd go in there and you'd hook two tarpon out of nowhere.
I don't think he's going to be able to do that on his little poppers, but I'm sure they're in there.
Well, they'll probably hit it. Just
hit at it.
What do you mean, the tarpon?
Well, if he's fishing around vegetation, probably not going to be too many tarpon in those areas.
No, I think you're wrong.
No, we're in those ponds. Yeah. We're on those poppers.
Wherever the bass and the snook are laying, those tarpon go in there to feed just like they do. We always think of tarpon as more open water, but literally they'll cruise right up along the mangroves and up into the weeds and stuff. They're, especially when they're smaller, they're very opportunistic. And so they're still looking for bugs and larvae and all that, so that, and that's the best places to find them. But traditionally, tarpon like hanging out in open water because they're a runaway, you know, when predators come, they just try to outrun them because they're very fast. But yeah, they're not like a hideout type fish, so we tend to think of more open water, but the truth is, find them very steadily around the marshes and stuff like that. Because of their food source. Just one of those weird things I found out years ago that really doesn't correspond to the open water fish we know of as an adult. But when you're dealing with them from literally 4 inches to about 25 inches, 4 inches to 40 inches, they do like the weeds and stuff.
Okay.
Little tiny ones at that point. So anyway, I could be totally wrong, but
listen, I'm always happy to learn.
Okay, West Wall.
A lot of snook along the West Wall with a lot of small little redfish, occasional bigger one in this would-be slot sized. But the main thing I've been hearing about is the trout and the pompano on top and on the outside edge of the flat there. Mostly kind of in that middle section where that tide marker, range marker thing is. And south of there. And there has been also a few cobia cruising along the bar, too.
Been quite a bit of snook on the north end also, up there by Cattle Dock.
Okay.
I mean, where it's arguably, is it still the Myakka, or is it the West Wall? It's kind of the
weird
blurred line
between.
In between it.
Yeah. It's that big gray area between, what is that, Trout Creek and Cattle Dock?
Yeah, up in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the drive-bys.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally think I want to call that area from Ponce de Leon over to Colony Point, Drive-By Flats. That would be a great name for it.
Actually, it would be perfect for it.
Because everybody drives by it, and there's usually fish there because everybody drives by it. I think if people actually start fishing there, get any pressure, I don't think it would hold the fish that it does. But right now, you can actually just drift across there nice and easy, and there's actually fish there.
Well, and it's actually a really good name for it, because a lot of people will be scared to fish there. They don't want to be shot.
Yeah. And no one would know where we were talking about. But
Somebody would. Somebody's going to listen to this.
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few people that actually, we have no idea why, actually listen to this. You know, we always are grateful. We're, you know, a little bewildered, but always grateful that you do. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Shut-ins, people who weigh too much to leave the house.
The folks in London, we appreciate you guys listening. The few in France, Australia, we have a few. We're actually getting better in some of the Far East. I don't know why that is, but predominantly our major audience, East Coast of Florida, some almost the same on the West Coast, but a lot on the East Coast. And then as you get up to the Northeast and into Canada, we have big numbers up there. And literally, I should say Midwest and Northeast. We kind of split from Minnesota all the way over, and then it thins out as you go west. But we have a lot of listeners in Colorado, all the way up to Montana and all that. Don't know why.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Kind of makes sense with the East Coast stuff. I figure if the more license plates that are down here, the more listeners from those states we probably have.
But the people that have come in from Montana and Nebraska and Iowa and Minnesota and all that who listen to the show, I was actually pretty impressed because I hadn't checked where people were listening from in a while. And went, oh, wow. That was cool.
Yeah. Very neat.
So, anyway, K-Pays, money bag.
What do you got?
What do you got, huh? I want to know. Well, tell me. Bring K-Pays it up, baby. I can handle it.
Muddy Bay. Been hearing about some pompano down there. Guys have been hoping for flounder, but only finding some very small ones. We've been seeing a few redfish, not as many as people expected to find. It's actually been a little bit slow over in that area from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I kind of got the same thing, except for I've been hearing the off again, on again with the ladyfish and the bluefish and the Spanish mackerel, but they're like super inconsistent.
Right. There. Well, but that's not just there. I mean, that's going to be from that point out to the middle of the harbor, all the way out to the pass. So that's going to be one of those.
That's going to be our next
almost
spot.
Anywhere things.
Yeah. Okay. Anything special about Bull Bay over Turtle Bay, or Turtle Bay over Bull Bay?
Turtle Bay seems to be getting more positive feedback on the trout as far as size goes. As far as numbers, they're about the same, but getting a lot more feedback on better quality fish, 15 to 17 inch fish. There has been a lot of snook moving around in there, especially towards the back behind the shack and going up to one of Carl's redfish spots, that spot way back there in the end of Turtle Bay. And then The puffer fish are probably one of the big things over there because everyone's just getting their baits just destroyed.
Well, anywhere you're fishing out there, those puffers are going to be on it. And we talked about this a little earlier on our show, but if you have that differently colored tail, you know, that's going to be a puffer magnet. And, you know, the thing that I find about puffers is that a lot of times if you're catching a bunch of puffers, move just a little bit deeper. And you'll start catching fewer of the puffers and more of the trout, or at least the trout will be a little bit more aggressive. So pick up 6 or 8 inches worth of depth and see if that doesn't change things for you.
Have you ever seen Mark Nichols, the owner of DOA, at a tackle show or a trade show, or he's out giving a talk? Ask him what his favorite fish is. More than half the time he'll say, puffers. And you look at him and go, what are you talking about? You know, this is Mark Nichols, one of the greatest fishermen to ever live. And, I mean, Mark Nichols truly is one of the greatest fishermen who has ever lived. And the reason he likes puffers is because he sells so many lures. They bite the tails off. You got to buy more lures.
I'll tell you what. The man's also got brass stones.
Okay.
One of the first times I ever saw him on a fishing show, they were down in the Everglades fishing, and it was wintertime because they all had waders on, and he was up to almost to the top of his waders. And they're catching trout after trout after trout. And on top of that, the sharks, the little 3 to 4 foot black tips and bulls, were taking their trout.
Right.
And this shark rails his trout right up against his chest. He didn't flinch, jump, or anything. And this was 20 years ago, right. So it wasn't because he was old and his reaction time sucked. He actually just didn't blink an eye and started laughing and kept on casting after that happened. And oh yeah, that's been happening all day. And they showed like 3 or 4 more times where their
shark just
ate,
basically hits him in the chest to bite the trout he's eating.
Yeah. I mean, just, but he didn't jump. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
He has got brass cojones, there's no doubt about it. But well, he's also just one of the coolest guys I've ever met.
He absolutely is one of the nicest, genuine people.
If you get to the point where you've upset Mark Nichols,
you've done something.
You're a jerk. I mean, you've really worked at it. You've spent years perfecting it. Yeah, now you are really something.
I made a song about that in the 70s, the I-95. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, okay.
You know, I bet the sharks don't owe Mark Nichols like they owe you, Robert. So, you better stay out of that water.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, you've probably targeted him more than Mark has.
Yes.
You've probably hurt more sharks than he has. So
hey, and
fish
for you
gods
guys,
hate you.
For you guys who can't help but catch those puffers, you know, they actually are pretty good eating.
Great. So, here we go.
What?
Yeah, but if you
see this on your tongue, goes away.
Look, here's the thing. The puffers that we have here, yes, they do contain a tiny, tiny amount of a neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin, but the tetrodotoxin is contained in one of two places. It's contained in the gonads, so don't eat the gonads, and in the skin, so don't eat the skin.
Now, how are you going to resist that, Josh?
How are you going to resist?
How are you
going to
resist
heads?
That? Yeah, you know, I mean,
use your willpower.
Things, you know, I mean, you're out there. I mean, you know,
use your willpower. You're cutting off the tail. You're skinning the tail, and it's an easy thing to do. They're delicious.
Okay.
Sea squab is lovely.
I can honestly tell you, I do have a soft spot for puffers, spiny boxfish, all those. Even if they were excellent eating without any of the weird side effects, I would have a hard time with it. I just really enjoy those fish.
Keep a puffer in a fish tank sometimes.
Oh, I've had them.
They are personality plus fish, but they are murder beasts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they go after everything. So, anyway, one of the things about it is, I don't know why, but I just literally have a soft spot in my heart for puffers and the spiny boxfish and stuff like that. I really would hate to kill one.
I'm with you on that. I have a really hard time doing it. And I don't know, there's just something. I think it's the animatedness to them. There's something about them that's just...
I mean, when you get this crazy little fish, and all of a sudden it's just the size of a softball in your hand, and they're... But now, they are brutal, brutal beast of a fish. If you put your finger by his mouth, you are missing chunk of your finger.
Oh, yes.
You can put him in the palm of your hand. Just make sure you don't try and cup anywhere near that fish's mouth. He will take a chunk out of you. You will be crying on the deck.
A triangular hole punch. Choo-choo.
Yeah, picture a parrot.
Yeah, exactly.
With a bad attitude. That's what happens if you put your fingers in near the mouth of a puffer. Okay, Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef have had some Spanish on it with an occasional ladyfish and some bluefish. But I suggested to a guy the other day to check it out for pompano. And he got one pompano, which surprising, not surprising to only get one, you know.
Well, we're getting a pompano section together. If you come into the store, go to the right and all the way to the back. We're finding a lot of different pompano jigs, type of pompano jigs. We're putting it together. It's slowly becoming something, but it's one of the things we're not keeping the family brands together because we're trying to do just the stuff you want for pompano, the fish like that.
Right.
So it's working out pretty good. A lot of the stuff we've already run out of room with the remodel. In the new section of the store, we had put all of our offshore lures over there, all the trolling, bottom fishing, anything for blue water, deep water. Once you leave the harbor, not the freshwater or the harbor stuff, but anything you would use in the Gulf or the Atlantic or any of the big water. And we had to pull that over, add a couple walls to the other lure section, bring all those back over, because I ended up inadvertently buying so many hook removers, clippers, you know, all the gadgetry tools that you fish with, fighting belts and this and that and the next thing, that we ran out of room over there, so we had to move everything back over to the other section. So now when you come in the front door, everything to your right is lures. Everything in front of you is terminal tackle, and gadgetry and stuff are up in the new section along with the shirts and the tackle boxes. But it kind of fits. We got all the tackle boxes, cast nets, we got the shirts, the hats, you know, all that other stuff over there. So kind of the gadgetry kind of goes well with it. That's where all the crab stuff is and all that. So it does make it more organized. It's just, man, it was a lot of work toting all that stuff back over on the other side of the store. A
lot of miles on the feet.
Yeah, my feet are killing me. All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound, honestly, I heard that there was a small patch of red tide moved in there today, but nothing of a fish kill that I've heard of yet, but they were still catching yesterday sheep's head, mangrove snapper, up on the flats there, along with some redfish, some snook, and a handful of trout. You know, those little oyster patches going by Whidden Bay or Whidden Creek area. It's been sheep's head have been tailing in there. A lot of guys have been getting excited thinking they're a redfish until they couldn't get them to hit anything and then realized they were a lot of sheepies. So that's kind of neat. That's always a little different.
Cool.
And the good news is there hasn't been any reported death yet, so that's a good thing. I'm assuming it's just that westerly wind with this front coming in just blew in a little patch. The guy said it was just enough to be a little annoying, but it wasn't brutal on him.
Yeah, it's one thing. The next time you hear of a red tide report, like on a beach or somewhere else, what you want to do is go out, experience the red tide, let it make your throat scratchy, cough a little bit, because if you do that, that way when you're in a boat, you actually know what it's like. And you're not smelling like an algae bloom or something else and going, oh, there was red tide there. I was smelling this and it was awful. Well, you don't really smell the red tide. It doesn't really have an odor.
No,
it doesn't. You feel it and you start to cough, but there's not really an odor associated with it. And so if you're smelling something like dead fish or something like that, it's not red tide. That's not have that smell. So, you know, use your
head. That's usually the after effects of something you're smelling.
You've got to go out and literally be in an area where there's red tide.
Here's a way to relate that, though. If you could smell red tide, fish wouldn't die. They would know better. They would know to get out of the area and get away from it and run as fast as they could.
And so I get so tired of people who have no idea of what they're doing or talking about it, telling me how, in an absolute format, what they're experiencing. And I'm like, well, did you, you know, you ask a few questions? No, no, no. Okay, probably wasn't red tide. Oh, yes, it was. Well, please, next time we have a red tide, go out there and check it out for yourself. Now, if you have bad asthma or COPD or any of the letter, number, alphabet things, don't go out there. But if you're in reasonable health, you can go out there, let your throat get scratchy, cough a little bit, get back in your car and drive away. You'll be fine. But at least you'll know.
Right. Well, that even being said, when my sister was here and my grandma, my mother, and her went out to the beach, there was a little bit that blew in. But they were still, and my mom's really, really bad asthmatic.
Right.
And they stayed out there for 45 minutes. She said they had a little light tickle in their throat and a little light tickle in their nose, but not enough to drive them away, but it was enough for her to know that it was there. But she knew what it was because she's, you know, I took her out there one time to let her experience it, but we were made it quick because I didn't want to kill my mother.
Right. And your mom's pretty awesome, so we really don't want you to do that.
Right. But it was cool because she recognized it. She said, yeah, we felt a little tickle. You know, it was no big deal, but we were fine. We didn't stay very long.
But see, you can respect that. How do you respect somebody who mouths off about stuff and has not a clue as to what the hell they're talking about? For God's sake, stay on Facebook where you belong.
Don't leave your house.
Go to Twitter.
Don't leave your house ever again. And yes. Don't talk to the public in reality.
Stay in mommy's garage or basement where you belong. Okay. Placida pier trestle.
A lot of sheep's head. Mangrove snapper, Benson pompano being caught off the pier and also around the trestle itself from the boaters. And then the Spanish have been kind of moving through every now and then. Had a couple reports of a couple flounder, but they were smaller. And let's see, nothing really at night. I haven't had any good reports of snook or anything else there at night this past week. But, you know, it's been decent fishing. A lot of people fishing it for the holidays that just wanted to go for a couple hours, and got some decent reports on it yesterday.
All right, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, there's trout. Trout have been the big thing that people are talking about up in there. A lot of snook starting to move around, especially like those canals on the mainland side. And that's pretty much all I've got for reports there. Nothing else exciting. Just trout.
Okay, trout. Just trout.
Just trout.
All I want is the trout and nothing but the trout.
Exactly.
Can you handle the trout?
Nice.
I can handle the trout. Englewood, Hanger Pier. We've been doing this for, 8 years now or something like that?
Yeah,
and you didn't know Hanger Pier came back?
No, I knew it
was. Okay. Yeah. That's okay.
There's been the
trout. How many years have we been doing this, I wonder?
I don't know. 6 or 8 years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
It is. There's a lot.
I think we started in, 12 or 13, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look in your archives on that one. I don't remember.
I think, I know it was after 2010 we started.
Oh, yeah.
Because I quit doing construction work and contracting in 2010 when I got sick.
Right. It was probably within two to 3 years of that.
So it was either 11 or 12 we started, I think. Yeah, something like that. So if it was 12, that's what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Englewood, Tom Adams, the pier next to the Beach Road Bridge. We turn, okay.
Right before you go on the bridge.
Yeah.
The trout have been the Trout have been the main thing that guys have been focusing on there, off the pier and around the bridge itself, along with some sheep's head. Not great numbers of them there, but definitely fishable numbers. And then there's been the mangrove snapper, mostly on the smaller side. And then a handful of guys are fishing there at night, doing some catch and release snook and a couple of juvenile tarpon even. So not a whole lot to change there. It's still kind of consistent. Everyone's kind of waiting for the sheep's head to move in there in better numbers, so they're fishing it fairly regularly, hoping that they're going to get that big mother load that dumps in there when that water temperature hits right.
Well, we got a lot of fiddler crabs,
right,
and a steady source on them now, so
right,
we're going to have fiddler crabs all year.
That'll be a good thing.
So we do have them again, and hopefully we'll be able to keep them.
Figured out how to clean them yesterday, too, with the bait bucket lid. I set that in there and cleaned them all up. I was like, oh, this works perfect.
Yeah, you need something that floats. So you toss all the gunk on the top. But
I wanted to do it to make sure it worked. So I showed Jeff and Steve yesterday. I said, look, this works good. This is how you clean it.
Oh, these guys forgot. Because it's been, what, 2 years or 3 years since we had fiddler crabs. And they forget how to clean fiddler crabs?
Well, we used to have the bigger tank and it was a board. So
yeah, but what's the difference between a board and something small that floats? You need to use something smaller.
Sometimes you have those moments.
Okay. All right, I don't get it. Okay, that's okay. But that's me. All right. The Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico has been rocking and rolling a little bit out there, but the fishing has been really good. The Spanish mackerel, the king mackerel, at anywhere from basically a mile to 20 miles out. The king mackerel aren't big. They're in that 8 to 15-pound range is the majority of the reports I'm getting. Mangrove snapper, lane snapper, and porgies from 10 to 20 miles have been really good, and especially the lanes, a lot of lanes in that 14, 15, 16 inch range. Quality fish. Still hearing of a few cobia, occasional barracuda. They are starting to move out farther and farther. And then the red grouper, I'm starting to get some better reports in that 75 feet of water. But anywhere from 75 to 110 feet seems to be the main number for the red grouper. And there's been some good ones. A guy brought in a picture of a 32-incher that he got out there in 81 feet or 82 feet of water, 80-something. It was real short.
Well, that's why we've been buying all those massive butterfly jigs and heavy bucktails and all that other stuff. People are traveling out further and further all the time. They're getting out there where the sailfish, the mahi, the big red grouper are. They're finding if you go 15 miles out, you catch a lot of snappers, grunts, and porgies, but there's a lot of people traveling out that far.
Right.
Every time you go out 5 miles more, 5 miles more, you eliminate a lot of boats.
A whole lot of boats.
And there's not a lot of boats can go out there 100 miles.
Right.
And if you're out there, it's what, 40 miles, 45 miles out to the 100 foot?
Yeah, 110 is about 45 feet, or 42 miles, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, a little over 40 miles out, you get in some really deep water. And, if you've got 25, 26-foot boat or better, you can easily do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people pucker up when they think about doing that. But, heck, I've been out 50 miles in little skiffs, never thought anything about it. It was a nice day, just go.
But it's funny, they'll do that in the Great Lakes, but they panic about it here.
On the Atlantic, people go out after dolphin, and they're 20, 30, 40 miles out on the weed lines, not thinking a thing of it.
They'll run to the Isle Morada Humps, and those are 26 miles out or something
like that. But they go out 10 miles here, and it's like, oh my God, pucker factor.
Right.
Couldn't drive a stick pin up there with a sledgehammer.
Right.
So, all right. What else? Anything else in the Gulf?
That's pretty much about it. Little mixed barrage of stuff out there. Just depends on the person you talk to. The main thing is if you are running out there with live bait, put an aerator on it because little patches of junk out there that's killing the killing your bait on the way out.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely possibly going to go over patches of red tide. And the thing about red tide is red tide wants to float at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Red tide does not want to sink and go to the bottom. I've seen red tide in areas that are 18 inches of water and the fish were fine.
Right.
And it's not until you get a lot of it and then you get a little bit of wind and waves and kind of mixes it up, stirs it up, does that red tide sink down in the water. Red tide likes to float at the surface. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes in very shallow water, you can have fairly bad red tides and not much of a fish kill at all.
Right.
And people think that it's some kind of poison that, you know, just wipes everything out. But it's really, you got to study it. You got to understand it. And if you get a little bit of waves, that makes it go deeper. Sometimes people say, well, the Hurricane Michael would blow all the red tide out of here and disperse it. Well, it could actually make it worse and drive it deeper and kill more fish.
Right.
It doesn't not always work the way people think it does. It has the possibility of the front part of the hurricane blowing it out into deep water. Definitely possible. Definitely could make it go deeper. But then there's the back half of the storm that's blowing the water towards land. Right. And it could just blow it back. And depending on the speed of the storm, where it stalls, where it stops, is it going to make it better or worse? 50-50. You know, you don't know. And it's funny how a storm can disrupt the red tide and break it up and literally disperse it to the point it is, you know, so scattered that it doesn't have any power.
You know,
it's just too thin. Or it can take a high concentration of red tide with heavy waves and drive it right down towards the bottom and kill a lot of fish.
Yeah.
There's so many possibilities that can happen. You always hope for the best one, but to say, oh, this did that, or, you know, it was Michael that got the red tide out of here, was absolutely ludicrous.
Right.
You know, it may have been, it may not have been, but as far as I know, it was pretty much over before the hurricane went by.
Yeah, pretty close, yeah.
So, I mean, that might have been the end, the absolute end of it, because it was so weak at that point. But if it was a strong red tide, that storm could have actually been catastrophic for a lot of our reef fish. So, anyway, so much for positive, happy stuff.
Right. Yeah, but listen, okay. It's honest.
It is honest. Okay, Venice.
Venice has been doing pretty good. Sharky's Pier, I've gotten a few reports off of it this week. The Spanish mackerel, been a few whiting caught in the surf. There's been a couple spade fish and a couple sheep's head being caught underneath the pier itself. One guy caught about a 20-pound king out there doing the trolley rig. And then I've heard of some guys seeing some tarpon going by along the beach out there, but nobody hooking any. I'm assuming those are just migratory fish just running, getting ready to head wherever they're going to go. Texas, Mexico, somewhere.
What are the jetties doing?
The jetties have been getting a few reports of some scattered sheep's head, some mangrove snapper, a couple Spanish mackerel here and there. No snook, nothing else to really speak of.
Okay, stump?
Stump pass has been an occasional Spanish. There's been some jacks coming through. Couple guys catching a couple small sheep's head and a couple small whiting, but a little on the quiet side there for consistent reports.
Okay, Gasparilla.
I got nothing there this week at all. I don't know if you've heard much there, but I got nothing.
Boca?
Boca's been pretty good. Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, some ladyfish, a few more sheep's head. There has been a couple of small goliaths being caught out in the middle of the channel. The guys have been drifting, looking for the snapper that are down there also. And then a couple guys have been seeing some pompano and flounder on the Johnson Shoals side. One of those tongue twisters for me tonight. So it's been not too bad out there. A lot of life around there. And that day we were out there, all those ladyfish were just amazing.
Yeah. It's
definitely one of the biggest schools of ladyfish I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, people say, well, is there any fish left out here? And I can honestly say, you and I saw more fish that Monday when we were out with your mom and your sister and everybody than I've ever seen in Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, when we left the giant schools of fish there by Boca Raton Pass, as we went in, I saw schools of jacks. I saw what I think was Spanish mackerel. I literally saw more fish visually seen, not bait, but actual fish, more than I've ever seen in my entire 40 years of fishing Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah.
I just couldn't even imagine. I mean, after everything and all the reports and everything else, it was, I mean, we stopped the boat and just stood there and looked, and then we fished and caught fish and did that, but there was so much. I mean, you just looked, you went, look, they're over there. Oh my God, they're way over there. Oh, there's more over there. They're behind us. Oh, they're in front of us. I mean, literally to be surrounded by a mile of fish.
Pretty impressive.
Something I just wouldn't even have thought possible. Even in, just figure this day and age.
Right.
With how many people fish and how much commercial fishing and everything else, the recreational fishing, to even consider there was that many fish.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh my God. Okay, Captiva.
Captiva, the only thing I've got down there is some guys catching some sheep's head drifting through there. Other than that, I haven't gotten any other good reports. A little quiet, unfortunately. It's still beautiful, though. It's still worth going down there, because that around the harbor tour, that was awesome.
Love going through Captiva Pass. Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous with all the driftwood. And what amazes me is people have only stolen a little bit of the driftwood.
Yeah, that surprised me. I figured there'd be a lot less there.
I would think, you know, people are so ridiculous, they have to take everything home with them. And I kind of get it, because I used to do rocks. I'd pick up rocks wherever I went.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm going to leave the rock where it is. I'll take a picture.
Yeah.
It was, I literally had to stop, because I understand why people take a piece of driftwood or rock. It's kind of what we did as a society.
A memento.
Yeah, as a memento of it, okay, I got a rock from here and this and that and next thing. It's a bad idea, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Leave the stuff. I mean, it was so cool, you picked it up. If we all left it there, our grandkids are going to go by and go, wow, look at that cool rock.
Right.
That's, and, you know, and I understand if you're doing it, and I'm not telling you you're doing a bad thing, because I did it, I think a lot of us did it. All I'm asking for is the consideration that maybe if we didn't do that anymore, maybe your kids could walk by that very same spot and go, wow, look at that cool rock, stick, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of one of the things we got to think about now as a society, because there's so many of us trying to walk these places. What I did with Robert and his family that day and my wife was I took them to a place where I know is not heavily gone to by boaters and it's too far away for the people on the beach to go. So it's a very pristine bit of shoreline, and it's always kind of cool because you can see so many cool things. I mean, there was vertebrae on the beach and stuff like that that you were trying to identify.
Horseshoe crabs, some of the different shells that I haven't seen in 20 years probably. You know, it was really, really cool.
Sometimes it's nice to know which spots are just, you know, you never see people at.
Yeah.
And which spots you know people go to all the time. Okay. Redfish Pass?
I've got nothing from down there.
Okay.
What about the slackers in Fort Myers? They bring anything up?
You know,
I know they've been busy this week, so I got to give them a little bit of credit.
They actually had a lot of business this week, so no, I don't have any reports from the Fort Myers store. But I was actually talking to one of the guys down there, and he said, well, I'm going to go on Instagram and do a, you know, thing for the store on Instagram. I said, you do realize we have at least 15,000 people listen to the fishing report, and there's probably 100,000 people read the fishing report. I said, so you're going to get an Instagram account going, and in a year or two, you're going to get a few hundred followers?
Maybe.
I said, could you just send me some fishing reports? And I said, tens or hundreds of thousands of people are going to see or hear it.
Right.
I mean, on a low end, 10,000. On a high end, probably 200,000.
Right.
You know, or...
Simple math.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do your Instagram account? Yeah, that would be really good. And don't worry about sending me a phishing report, because you're just going to lose your job because there'd be no business.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. That's pretty funny.
It's like charter boat captains. I say, come on, then we'll do a fishing show. You know, we got thousands of people listening because we've got some amazing listeners. And for some reason, they're relatively loyal, although why they want to listen to us, we don't know. But thank you for doing it. Walking the beaches. What's going on if you're walking the beaches?
The only good reports I've had really have been up there around the Venice Jetties area for some pompano, a couple small flounders, some Spanish mackerel as you get closer to the passes, and some sheep's head right there. And it's kind of the same thing down by Boca Grande. From the old broken down pier out to the pass itself, you know, some of the same things. Some pompano, some small flounder, some Spanish mackerel. Sheep's head as you get into the pass itself, along with some bigger mangrove snapper. Even a couple guys have seen some tarpon roll out there in the pass standing on the beach, but nobody's hooking any. But that's pretty much the only two places where I've had good reports.
Yeah. Sooner or later, we gotta, like, call somebody, like, up around Sharky's. We're gonna have to actually,
start making phone calls.
Yeah. Well, we do have, we've got a syndicated show coming up. We're gonna be syndicated on dozens or hundreds of radio shows. So we're gonna have to start making calls around the country anyway. So maybe we'll just make a few more around Florida, too. You know, we gotta expand this out. Okay, because I mean, we've been an hour at this already. We're only almost three quarters done. Okay, Ponderosa,
I got nothing.
Okay.
So that's quick.
All right, that was quick. The Caloosahatchee.
I got nothing.
Yeah. I've got a couple possibles, but I don't have any proof, so I can't say it. Okay, keep going past that.
Kind of where I was at with Ponderosa. All
right, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's good. A lot of flounder have been being caught in there the last couple of days. Talking to the shrimper from down there, she said that the flounder started moving real good right there around Smokehouse Bay and even down to like the Indian Fields. And they are catching a lot more trout also the last couple of days down there. And that's from this side of Matt Lachey to below Matt Lachey. A lot of trout. The redfish, she said, got about the same kind of redfish we do, a lot of small redfish. And then a whole lot of small snook with a few bigger ones being caught around the Matt Lachey Bridge itself. So it's been...
How's the sheephead?
She didn't mention sheep's head at all, and I haven't heard of any. So it's. I think we got to cool down a little bit more for them. That's one of those weird spots that always seems to show... They either show up there first or they show up there last. Doesn't seem to be an in-between with them there. Or it's just the way the reports work with me.
Yeah, I get that. All right, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island's been really good. A lot of trout. All the deeper potholes, some of the deeper channels, lots of trout. Some Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish stealing people's lures. The redfish and the snook have been up along the shoreline. And then I've heard of a couple of black tips and a couple of bonnet heads down in there, too, being caught as bycatch while drifting for the trout out there on the flats. So it's been pretty good. The water's been pretty beautiful in most of the area. Some of it, boat traffic gets a little churned up, and especially in some of the channels, but a lot of people are just talking about how clear it is down there. They're enjoying the boat riding as much as they are the fishing.
Yeah, I'm literally going to buy a houseboat just so I can go vacation in Florida.
Right?
Because, you know, where we live, it's amazing. I love the brown water because I can afford to live on brown water. If it was crystal clear, blue waters, you and I couldn't afford to live there.
No.
But Robert and I are both lucky enough. Robert's canal is way nicer than the one I live on. But we both live on canals. But the water's brown. And the river's brown. The harbor's brown. But when you get out around the barrier islands and the intercoastal waterways and it's crystal clear blue-green water and all that, you literally feel like you're in that. And it is the tropical paradise.
Absolutely.
It's where one of the islands out there, Jimmy Buffett wrote Cheeseburger in Paradise, sitting in the restaurant, you know, because it really is a cheeseburger in paradise.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get myself a houseboat so that I can just, all right, I'm going to go out there.
Decompress.
It takes me 2-3 hours to drive it out there, throw the anchor, spend the night, and drive back sometime the next afternoon. Because, you know, it's right there, and I never get to see it except every once in a while on my flats boat, you know.
Want to have family members come down and drag you out, or if you have family members that you want to show them?
I am telling you, I've been threatening. Every year something comes up where I can't do this or can't do that. But we're only doing the, and I don't even know if we're doing that. He might have threw me out because I was pretty upset at the last boat show. I caused a lot of trouble, so I don't even know if he'll let me back in the boat
show.
Tell
me about that.
I don't like when people yell at me.
Gotcha.
And you know what I like when I'm like when I get upset.
Yep.
So I might have been kind of a jerk, you know. Sometimes when people do something, you just feel the need to let them know that you don't like it. And I kind of had the need.
Okay.
So, but that's okay. I'm ready to stay home and enjoy being in our bait shop.
Right.
I don't want to run around
quiet
the country.
Little bubble.
Yeah, if we're, we might do one more offsite sale, and that'll be it. And from then on, we're going to do fishing reports, and I want to be able to go to these things and just have fun and talk to people, and not worry about the payroll and the all the stuff. It's a lot of stress to go there. I got tens of thousands of dollars worth of tackle and all this other kind of stuff I'm liable for, and I got the, you know, and
I don't envy your stress factor at all.
I want to go and just relax and have fun with people. That was the whole great thing about the boat shows. We could just go and have fun, and not, I didn't have to sell anything or do anything, just talk and have fun and tell people about fishing. And then all of a sudden I got this massive payroll, and I've got all this expenses, and I've got all this stuff. And then when somebody turns the sprinkler on inside your tents and destroys thousands of dollars worth of product, and I mean, it's just a lot of stress. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go back to just having fun. I'm tired of all this work. So anyway, isn't that a whiny thing to do? I just want to have fun. Fish and Frank just wants to have fun. I'm shot.
That's terrible.
I'm tired.
That's terrible.
All right.
Next.
Yeah, I just, I'm tired of it all. I don't care about the money. I just want to enjoy it. So, because we made a lot of money at the boat shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it anymore. I want to relax. I mean, what am I going to do? Retire and live on the water?
Yeah, right.
Live on the water. All I have to do is take the time to enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Exactly.
Yeah, so, enough with the money aspect. I'm just going to enjoy it. Okay, Jug Creek.
Jug Creek, there's been some pompano there. There's been a few trout, and that's... Oh, no, a couple flounder, too. So, some mixed reports of the flounder over there. Most of them have been small, but they're at least moving around. Other than that, I got nothing really else.
All right, Two Pines, Bernstor.
A lot of little snook up along the bushes. Been some pompano on the outside of the bar there, but they've been very inconsistent. And the redfish that have been over there have been fairly small and reluctant. So it's been a little on the fuzzy side over there. Not exceptional, because a couple guys have been wading over there and trying, but they aren't having much of it.
Okay. And that's going to take us down to the east side.
Lots of little trout, along with some bigger trout, up on the inside of the trough and on the outside of the bar, both. And then there's been a ton of little redfish to even some slot-sized redfish and snook. It's been the most activity with the snook. Lots of guys talking about all the peanut snook and some of the really big, big snook that they're seeing moving around over there. And then there has been a few incidental cobia on the outside of the bar cricking along that guys have been catching as bycatch while fishing for the trout. And they've all been right in that 30 to 33 inch range, you know, just barely legal to just under legal. But still catching them and having fun. I'll take a 30 inch cobia on a trout rod any day. That's just a blast. And the water is clear enough over there where you can see pretty well in most of the areas. So sight fishing has been pretty good, or at least just watching, sightseeing.
Terry decided we're putting the tower on our other boat.
Nice.
And for some reason you're talking about that clear water. I'll never forget the very first time I was in the tower running the boat, and I know there was 18 inches of water there. but the water was crystal clear. You're standing way up there in that tower looking at it, and you would swear to God it's 3 inches deep.
Oh, yeah, the pucker factor big time.
Oh, it took me 2 months of running that boat to get used to seeing it from that angle and understanding how deep the water is from that different look. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack the first time I went across the flats. I had pictured being catapulted right out of that thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's scary.
There is no magic pill for learning to, or, you know, what do I do on the flats? And how do I get around on the flats? And how do I get in and out of here? There's no magic bullet for this. It's time and experience and just going slow when you start. And you idle around, you look, and you don't watch where you're going. You look at that just so you're not running into anything, but you watch the water to see where the holes are, where the grass is, where the sand is, where the humps are, so you actually learn how to get through the area. If you're so busy concentrating on where you're going, you don't see where you are, you never learn anything.
Well, when you're a passenger, you don't pay attention. I mean, I called you to... I mean, I've been into Turtle Bay a million times. I mean, not a million, but hundreds and hundreds of times. And I called you because I was all flustered because I couldn't get into there with your boat, trying to figure it out because I'm still learning it.
It's not my boat. It's your boat.
Just trying to get in there.
I gave that boat to you.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
thank you.
If you want to know how weird I am...
Really?
This guy was trying, I was trying to sell this boat to a guy, and I told him, you know, $7,000. And the boat's worth $10,000 or $12,000. But I just thought, well, I want to get rid of it. You know, I need to make it go away. I don't have room for it anymore. I lost my storage area, and I just wanted the boat to go away. And he starts arguing with me at the price. I looked at him and said, you're out of your freaking mind. I said, do you want the boat or no? And he's like, well, you know, we could. I said, forget it. I'm giving the boat to Robert. You're going to do what? I said, I'm going to give it to my buddy Robert. He can have it. Well, I'll give you. No, you ain't giving me anything. I gave you a good price. You didn't want it. Kiss my grits. I don't care. You know, I'm not. If I was in this for the money, I wouldn't be doing this. You know what I mean? God, why would you have a bait shop if you're in it for the money? I'm in it because I enjoy myself. You know, and so Robert gets a boat because this guy was trying to punk me out and be cheap. I already gave him $3,000 off the boat minimum.
Minimum.
I just assume Robert has it. So Robert's got this boat, and he's out there, and it's an awesome rig.
Oh, it's awesome. It floats in shallow water, but still trying to learn where you've been when you're driving the boat is completely different, and it's a little overwhelming.
You know,
it's frustrating, exciting, and overwhelming all at the same time. It's like you get that trifecta thing going on. Because, I mean, I've been into Turtle Bay literally hundreds of times through the main entrance.
Nope. And you think you know where you're going because you're riding. I'd be damned if I could find it. You think you know where you're going because you're riding, but...
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's like I tell people, you just got to relax, go slow, idle in, idle out. You're not fishing a tournament. You're not in a race. Enjoy where you are. Don't worry about so much about where you're going.
That's what I did.
Half the time there's as much or more fish where you are at that moment than where you're going to go to.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I was on a charter and holy cow, stop, there was a ton of fish, and I was going a half a mile further. If I wouldn't have been paying attention to where I was, I would have never found those fish.
Yep.
Alright, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, starting to get some good snook up inside there. There's been some jacks in there. There was some pompano last Saturday. A guy was telling me about last Saturday that he'd got some pompano right at the entrance. And then there's been a few redfish right there around the skating rink, along with a lot of little peanut snook. And that kid that was in today, I can always forget his name, but he got that cobia while sitting over there in his kayak fishing it too, along with his redfish and snook that he got into. So it's that whole entrance area is starting to really light up. The only thing I haven't heard about much is trout, but that's not super surprising because it's still not quite cold enough up in there for them to, where it becomes a parking lot. Give that about another month. the windy days, and it'll just be a parking lot inside there of everyone trout fishing.
Oh, on the east side?
Right there at Alligator Creek, right at the mouth.
Yeah, right there at the mouth. It's yeah.
20
yeah.
boats on each side set about 20 feet apart.
Oh, if you're lucky, 20 feet.
And then they look at you as you go by because you're allowed to go on plane for the first eighth of a mile. And they all look at you. It's like, you're the one that parked in the middle of the freeway. I'm trying to be conscientious here, but I'm better going fast than I am going slow, because
what I love is the people go slow down and I back my boat down, and you know when I drop the ass of that or the butt of that boat down in the water, it goes down in the water.
Yeah.
My boat will run really skinny, but it's also got a deep water front part of the hull. It's hard to explain, but when I drop that thing down and kick that motor back, I can roll a 2-3 foot wake off of that in a skinny minute.
It's surprising what that thing will push.
I mean, if I come through on just kind of a plane trimmed out right, you know, 15-20 miles an hour, goes through and you maybe got a 4-6 inch wake you're going to deal with.
Maybe.
But boy, you tell me to slow down and yell at me, no problem, Bucky. Whoop! I'm rolling 3 footers at you.
A flats boat or a bayliner? Jeez.
It's fun, man. Yeah. I love that boat. All right, Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon has had a few black drums, some small jacks coming through. Mangrove snapper kind of started to pick up a little bit, but it seems like more small ones picked up. And then a couple of snook been in there. Overall, it's not too bad, but hasn't been exceptional. But the water's real clear, so people are seeing a lot of activity going through there, so that's what they're liking about it.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of people fishing ponds. A lot of them have done really good. It's kind of hit or miss. But I will say, if, you know, you like to go fishing, let's say, you know, the wife is really into fishing, but the husband's not that much into it, or the husband's into it and the wife isn't much into it. And believe it or not, down here, we got both of those.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a huge amount of women who love fishing. I mean, they're just totally 100% into it. And their husbands could care less.
Yeah.
And we also have the same way. But it's a great place where if you want to go in the evening, you got amazing sunset, and you can fish, let your spouse or significant other, whoever, just sit there and have a few cocktails and watch the sunset. It's a gorgeous place to do all that. You can enjoy yourself, and they can get, you know, toasty on the beach there, you know, in their lawn chair.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect thing for both of you. All right. Let's see. Where did I go here? Gilcrest.
Gilcrest, I've got nothing.
Yeah, I don't have anything either. Nothing all right. Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef's got some cobia on it. There's been some mangrove snappers starting to pick back up a little bit on it. A couple mixed reports of some sheep's head. And that's it. There was a couple Spanish mackerel last week, but he literally caught two in like a couple hours trolling around there. So, unfortunately, he saw a lot of fish.
Had two reports of cobia being hooked up.
Yeah, yeah. Cobia been the at primary.
You know, right there at the reef, so.
Yeah.
Okay, deep holes in the harbor?
Well, there's still tarpon out there. Still been some tarpon. I don't know, after this week's cold snap, I don't know if that's going to change anything, but it might.
It's possible the days were so hot, though.
Exactly. That's why I'm kind of questioning it, because this whole week's been super toasty.
Well, hang on. Let's take a look. I'm going to hit fishingfranks.com. Come on, Internet. All right. Weather and tides. Gulf water temp. Let's see where we're at. Scroll down. Key West, 79.3. Naples, 76.1. St. Pete, 71. Pensacola, 60. Nope. Well, I mean, we're looking at Naples at 76, St. Pete at 71. We're probably in that 72, 73.
Right.
So, you know, normal water temp for us is going to be about that, because St. Pete normally is 70. They're a little, not even 2 degrees over normal. Naples is 3 degrees over normal. Pensacola is 5 degrees below normal.
Okay.
So a lot of fish coming down, a lot of nice cool water in the Gulf, 73, 74 degrees. That's perfect Gulf temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's going to be hitting
that's
at that.
Perfect. Perfect temperature. Yeah. All the species.
Everything likes that. Me too. I mean, that's my perfect temperatures.
Right. Except for getting in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, it does get a little... I don't know of any bait. Any bait, white bait
nothing.
Reports. I know the guys are catching it. I mean, the guys but are bringing it in.
They're working hard for it and traveling a long ways for it, but there's some around. Just don't know where. I mean, Fish was in the other day because he gave up on trying to catch it. So that says something because he's usually...
Well, he's also been gone.
Yeah, but he's still one of those ones that, you know, he, many times he posts when he's going out, like does a Facebook Live the way Carl does, and he's out there at dark 30, you know, I'm getting dressed at 4:30 in the morning, getting ready to come in here, and he's posting as he's getting to the ramp down there to go get bait, you know, so he doesn't mess around. If it's, if he's coming in here to get shrimp, that means it's starting to get slimmer picking.
Yeah, and it really is.
That's usually how I judge it. You know, I start seeing some of those guys that are really good at it. If they're getting bait, if they're coming in here to get it, we know that it's starting to get slim pickings. More so than normal.
Yeah, no. I got to call Fish. I haven't talked to him since he was up north.
Right.
He can be a pain, but he is one of the most awesome people I've ever known.
He's got a really good heart.
And I mean, let's face it, I'm probably the biggest pain there is, so puts us on a pretty level playing field. All right, freshwater, we got catfish up the Peace River up to 10 pounds, up by 760, you know, from there up towards Arcadia. Northport off Price is some decent crappie, a fairly good bass fishing. The web is catfish and panfish. You got anything else for
you? You kind of covered it.
Okay.
You know, here was something surprising. Teddy was in here.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving Day? I think it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I saw him Thanksgiving.
Okay. He went out for the first time 2 weeks ago scouting.
Mm-hmm.
First time he has ever been skunked. He said really? He didn't catch one, not one crappie.
See,
I'm like, are you
for those of you
me?
Who don't know, Teddy is a very muscular black guy who is literally one of the most awesome people you ever met in your life. He is truly, I mean, he's got arms the size of most people's legs, but he is
a
warm,
genuine,
just amazing person. But it's like if he had red hair, you would just say, okay, he's a redheaded guy, but he's a big black guy. And this man can crappie fish. He can sense them, smell them. He is one of the ultimate crappie fishermen I think I've ever run into.
I'd say he's the best crappie fisherman for sure in Charlotte County that I've ever met.
I mean, the guy is amazing. Down. And when Teddy doesn't find fish,
that's scary.
That's scary. That's really scary.
I said, "You're kidding me, right?" And he goes, "No, I'm serious. It's the first time, and I can't remember. I've been skunked."
I don't even remember that ever happening to Teddy.
Nope.
So, you know, when you live and work out of a bait shop, Robert's been here over 20 years. I've been here well over 30 some years. And you get to meet these awesome, awesome, awesome people that are literally amazing. And it's literally the only reason we stay at this job. There's not enough money for me to stay here. I could go out and sell cars and make more money. Mm. But it's not a bad life. And you get to meet these amazing folks.
From aspect of it.
It's the only thing that's good about this business is the people you deal with. You know, the customers that come through the door are just awesome. And it's the only reason I've stayed here. I mean, I've proved it. How many jobs I had where I made $100,000 a year? You know what I mean? I
go out and make many, many hats.
You know, I can make all kinds of money, but I really enjoy the people here. It's a nice life. It kicks my butt every once in a while. Like right now, I thought it was going to kill me. I mean, I can't even feel a finger in my left hand because of this stupid place. But it's awesome. And guys like Teddy are amazing.
Yes. You know,
so
yes,
anyway, going on, quitting my whiny session. Okay, tarpon map.
That was a good whiny rant.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it was a good thing. People like the humanitarian stuff. That's what every Thanksgiving, I usually write a little paragraph or two for my article, and they dig it. Lets them know that we're human and we still appreciate a lot of the same things that they do. And don't look at them just as a customer walking through the door, because there's so many people that we've gotten to know over the years that were kids and now they're coming in with their kids, or you know, their grandfather, their son, and now their grandson come in. You know,
you know, I talk about the old black women who were my favorite customers. Yeah. I mean, these old women knew how to catch fish. Mullet, bluegills, crappie. These women caught fish, and they used cane poles, and they had their own chum mixtures, and I mean, they were
science.
They were just the bomb. I mean, they come in and they would razz me unmercifully, mm-hmm. and just I mean, the one group I miss more than any other group, and one of the granddaughters was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in just today.
Nice.
And and she's talking about it. I mean, I almost got teary thinking about it, because I miss those women. Yeah. I mean, they were the ones I started in the store with, and they were coming in when I first started working here for that years during the, you know, the 80s and the early 90s. And God, I miss them. And I'm sure they all passed away. And she said her grandma passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was just, you know, it was at least nice to know that, you know, she had family with her and all that.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, it's just kind of weird, but I think no matter what job you have, if you get involved with the people you work with and they come in and out, it's a better thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I can't imagine working at one of these stores where you hate dealing with the people.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Hell would you do that?
No. Go get a job stocking a warehouse or something.
Yeah. If you don't like that, why are you in this, you know? Okay, right. Anyway, the deep holes in the harbor.
That's where most of the tarpon are at that I've been getting reports at. That's literally... So
red dots.
Definitely.
Cape Hayes?
Going around Cape Hayes, yeah.
Yellow dots, red dots?
We go with yellow, probably.
Right.
Same way with the past, yellow dots, because, I mean, people are seeing them, and a couple guys have hooked them, but I haven't had enough consistency this week to... say they're there still.
North or south in the beaches?
Nothing.
North or south in the ICW?
Nothing.
Matt Lachey, Boquilla?
Nothing.
Gaspar Sound?
Nope. Nowhere else have I heard of any other than a few juveniles here and there.
Okay. I still haven't made the button for Little Tarpon.
Right. Get around to it one of these days with your other projects.
The only reason I haven't is because they're always in the canals.
Yeah.
They're there all year. So what am I going to do? I should just put the things there. You know what I mean?
Well, you should just put just a little quotation with the tarpon report. Hey, you want juveniles? Look in all the canals. Come in and ask us. We'll give you the generalized hot spot.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, they're in the canals. That's pretty much it. Sometimes they're at the 41 Bridge or El Jobin, but they're going to be in the canals.
Yeah. You know.
Just like your own little... juvenile tarpon disclaimer. Here you go.
All right. Here's something that you guys can, you know, if you want, give me an email about or call the store. My birthday's coming up in December. I'll be 61. And I thought I'm going to put an ad in the paper saying, Fish and Frank's birthday sale. Everything's 10% extra.
Nice.
Well, it's my birthday. Why would I give somebody else a present, give them a discount if, you know, for my birthday, they should pay like 10% more than regular price.
Right.
To give me a birthday present.
Right.
And that, do you think anybody would get the joke?
Probably not.
I mean, I think people would come to the register and you'd say, okay, you ready for your extra 10%? Okay, that's, you know, $20. Okay, so that's going to be $22.
Yeah.
And they're going to look, well, I thought I'd get a 10%. What, it's Frank's birthday. You know, why should he give you something for his birthday?
Right.
I mean, do you think they would get the discount?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Probably not.
All right. I won't do it. I just think that would be hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think anybody's ever done it, and that's what's tempting me to go do that.
Well, it's like that one. What was that one we did a couple few years ago?
The 12/21/12, the end of the world.
The end of the world.
We had that a was ball with
riot.
That. Because the world was ending on 12/21/12, the Mayan calendar was over. The world was ending. So on 12/20, we had a big sale, the end of the world sale. We had, you know, disaster things on there, things blowing up. You know, come join us. You know, the world ends tomorrow. You know, get your fishing in now. It was tremendous. We made a ton of money.
And the feedback off of it was absolutely amazing. That was the coolest part. I mean, just people really genuinely enjoyed it for the sarcasm of it.
You know, I hate random sales because all you get is somebody coming in because they want something cheap.
Right.
And I'd rather, you know, like today we had with those waiting belts on there, mm-hmm. and some weird rust in there. But the guy was willing to pay full price for it. So I gave it to him. I didn't charge him anything for it because really I shouldn't be selling it. It was old. We found it in the warehouse, had some rust on it. You know, I didn't feel right about selling it. But here was a guy who really wanted it. Was like, all right, man, he was willing to pay $20 for it. I said, no, man, you can have it. It's yours. It's free. I said, there was no way I was intending on selling that. But if I market it at a cheap price, somebody buys it just because it's cheap.
Right.
But here was a guy who was willing to pay full regular retail for it that I could just give it to. And that's, now it's going to the right home. It's right. In the right place. Right. You know, you don't have to make money on all this stuff. You know, it was old. That money's long come and gone. But he got something cool out of it. And he went to a good home. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Anyway, weird day, weird night. I guess this is how you talk when you're really, really tired.
Yeah. Well, you're, what, probably 80 days into this? 90 days into this?
Well, I haven't really taken a day off except to take you and your family out.
Yeah, that was your only day off.
Since the second week of September. So, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah,
it's only September, you know, half of September, October, and parts of November. I'm going to take a day off here real quick.
Right, if it doesn't kill you first.
Hey, I'm sure I'll get the feeling back in my hand.
As long as it just stays in your fingers. If it starts to spread up your arm, you probably got to go to a different issue.
Nah. Then it'll be your problem. I'll be dead because it ain't going to matter to me. I don't have to worry about it.
Perfect.
So, all right, anything else you can think of? Time for the music?
Yep.
All right. Let's see. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving.
Hope you enjoyed your family and your time.
We were in here and then went home, had our dinners. We closed up at about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it was a real nice day. Thank you, everybody. Made a little bit of money, had a real good time. People brought us some wonderful food and desserts and stuff like that. So,
and we're all in a good mood. That was the greatest part. I don't remember one customer as cranky that day. That was the exceptional part, because usually there's one guy that's just a little off. I don't remember one that day. It was pretty awesome.
Well, what kind of threw me on was the next day, and people are coming in later day on Friday going, what do you mean you don't have bait? Last night was Thanksgiving. The shrimpers did not sit down, eat a big turkey dinner, and go, okay, I'm going to jump up and go out and catch shrimp. They're going to sit in the chair and fall asleep, just like everybody else does.
Exactly.
So
they're human, too.
Yeah, we had to double up on our orders and try and get everything going so Friday would be good. But right now, the shrimp's real good. We've got pinfish. We've got fiddler crabs. We've got blue crabs. We had a whole cornucopias of bait stuff around.
We are a bait and tackle boutique.
Yes, better than a boutique. All right. Frank here, Robert there. Josh was, but now it's not. So, we see you. Bye.